You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Dementia is expected to double in the next 20 years in Aotearoa, but for Pacifica and Māori, it's expected to triple. New research shows the risk of developing dementia is 60% higher for people living in the most deprived areas of Aotearoa compared to those in the least deprived areas. Because of the disproportionate representation of Māori and Pacifica in lower socioeconomic groups, the risk of those developing dementia also sits at a disproportionately high level. Senior lecturer in the Department of Psychological Medicine at the University of Auckland, Ituni Mau, led the public health expert briefing that took a deep dive into the research. I spoke to Mau about the factors of poverty that led to this increased dementia risk and how these can be combated on both an individual and wider structural level. In the briefing, research showed that the risk of developing dementia is 60% higher for people living in those most deprived areas of New Zealand compared to those in the least deprived areas. What specific factors of living in poverty is it that contributes to dementia?
Look, I think it's a lot of factors. You know, as, well, the late Whanana Ifisokolam said, you know, past president of AUSA, it's hard to be poor, it's expensive to be poor, and more recently, it's becoming more socially unacceptable to be poor. I think the risk factors cluster around social disadvantage. We know that many of these risk factors are associated with, you know, living more unhealthy lifestyles. But we know that the drivers of those unhealthy lifestyles are not from the individual. They're from what people are surrounded by.
Because Māori and Pacific people are overrepresented in low socioeconomic groups, does this then increase their risk of dementia?
I mean, the short answer is yes, it does. So the Lancet Commission that we were reporting on have estimated that about 45% of dementias worldwide are preventable if you target, you know, these 14 potentially modifiable risk factors. We've worked with the authors of the Lancet Commission and done New Zealand research a couple of years ago, and what we've shown is that actually the prevention potential and the risk of dementia is even higher in New Zealand because the prevalence or the rates of risk factors are much higher here compared to worldwide. And then what we've also shown is that the risk is even higher again in Māori and Pacific people because their rates of risk factors are even higher again compared to New Zealand population. And it's really easy to blame the individual, blame the communities and say there is something inherently risky about being Māori Pacific that somehow increases their risk, which is why we were really keen to do this research, which has quite clearly shown that actually there is nothing inherent in being Māori or Pacific that increases your risk, that all of this risk is due to disadvantage and social deprivation. So therefore, if we can target those risk factors and target the upstream drivers of poverty, of social disadvantage, then Māori and Pacific will clearly benefit and the whole of society will benefit as well.
Yeah, so in terms of prevention, how reliant is this on individual factors like people changing their own habits and lifestyles versus a deeper structural change? Is that what is more key here?
Look, I think both are important. I mean, we know that, you know, dementia is primarily a disease of older people. We know that it tends to manifest, you know, in the 60s, 70s and 80s. But the changes that start happening in your brain that drive dementia accumulate over time and are probably starting in your 30s and 40s or even earlier. So what we need to be thinking about is a life course approach. Yes, it's really important for the individual to think about their risk factors, to think about their heart health, to think about how they can look after themselves as an individual. But we actually need wider population level measures that reduce the risk across a population group, and that really requires targeted policies, targeted legislation, effectively making it easier to live healthy. You know, there's research out of the University of Canterbury that shows that vaping shops are just that much more prevalent in areas of higher deprivation, that alcohol outlets are that much more prevalent, that fast food outlets are that much more prevalent. So what we need to be thinking about at a policy level is actually, you know, reducing that exposure to all of these things that increase your risk of engaging in them and therefore increasing risk factors and bringing down the risk factors across the population rather than just targeting and blaming people that are at risk.
When we talk about this policy change that needs to be made, realistically, how long is it going to take to tackle such a big change? How can the government step in now?
Look, I think there is low-hanging fruit that the government and councils can target. You know, you can make it more difficult to, you know, open vape shops, make it more difficult to open alcohol outlets. You know, it's really disappointing that the current government has kind of rolled back some of the tobacco legislation and changes that would have made it more difficult for people to take up smoking and vaping.
And it seems like the causes of this speak to an issue deeper than just dementia. Does this research speak to kind of an inadequate response to poverty in Aotearoa?
Look, I think fundamentally it does. It's really easy to wave the banner of personal responsibility, of individual change, and completely ignore the structural factors that are driving some of these inequities and inequalities in society.
Is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to go over?
I think on an individual level, the message is anything that is good for your heart is good for your brain. Your brain is about a kilo of your body weight. It uses about 20% of your oxygen and nutritional needs. So that means anything that compromises your heart function, anything that compromises blood flow, is going to affect the brain significantly. The other thing we know is that actually we can build a cognitive reserve, which is our brain's ability to tolerate these changes. And that's really about keeping an active, stimulated mind, which is why getting things like hearing and vision treated are so important, because these are drivers of people not being able to engage with others to the same degree, and therefore, you know, not having as active and as stimulating a lifestyle.
That was Senior Lecturer in the Department of Psychological Medicine at the University of Auckland, Etuni Mau, on poverty increasing the risk of dementia.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.